Lord God, as we look at your word more closely this morning, help to impress upon our hearts the necessity of us to lead by example to the generation that follows, to our children, our grandchildren, and those children that you have placed in our lives. So help us, Lord, to walk with you as we could be an example to them. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Well, men, today is our day. Being gentlemen, we let the ladies have their special day first, right? But now it's our turn. Today is for the fathers and those here with a father's heart, just like God. Today is a special day when we remember our own fathers, whether they are with us or not. And we get to talk about guy stuff in church. But because we're supposed to be gentlemen, maybe we'll let the ladies here listen to the sermon as well. What do you think? Do we need a vote? Sometimes when we're around the women in our lives, we don't like to share our fears. I'm going to share one of mine with you this morning. I don't usually scare that easily, but one of the biggest fears that I ever had in my life was not getting Penny to the hospital in time when she was in labor. I remember trying to encourage her to move to her grandmother's house, which was fairly close to the hospital, because I would literally have nightmares about having to deliver one of my children at the side of the road. And that fear is still there, even though our youngest is now 23. When Tamsin was getting close to having little Olivia, I got a call from Penny saying, Joshua's down in Toronto, so can you go over to Joshua and Tamsin's house and see if Tamsin's all right, because she thinks she's in labor. Me? Are you kidding? Why do you want me to go? You'd need to have two ambulances, one for her and one for me. Anyway, I raced over. Heart was beating with that fear arising, but thank the good Lord above, it was a false alarm. For those of us who are fathers, I don't think that we will ever forget the day that our children were born. How many of you dads remember the day that you first became a father? I don't know what the circumstances were surrounding the delivery of your first child, but I know that it was probably both a proud and a scary moment. I don't really care what the women have to say about this. That labor thing isn't all that easy for us men either. Although, thank God, we don't have to go through the pain of it. I did have my shirt ripped from here to here by Penny, all as if this labor thing was my fault. I mean, I was only trying to hold her hand, but sometimes you just can't win. Just out of curiosity, how many of you were in the delivery room with your wives? I know that things have changed a lot over the years. It used to be that husbands always waited out in the waiting room for news of what was going on with their wife and soon-to-be child. Once there was a group of expectant fathers who were in a waiting room while their wives were in the process of delivering their babies. A nurse came in and announced to one man that his wife had just given birth to twins. It's quite a coincidence, he responded. I play for the Minnesota Twins. A few minutes later, another nurse came in and announced to another man that he was the father of triplets. That's amazing, he exclaimed. I work for the 3M company. At that point, a man slipped off his chair and laid right down on the floor. Somebody asked him if he was feeling ill. Yes, he responded. I work for the 7-Up company. Anyway, enough stories and into the sermon. But before we go there, I just want to say that I'm always hesitant to speak on the subject of parenting. That's because I don't want anyone to think that I am an expert on the subject or that I am a perfect parent. Neither of those is true. When I speak on this subject, I am speaking as a fellow traveler with you. When it comes to our children, our grandchildren, or to any child that God has placed in our sphere of influence. It's a scary thing to bring children into today's world. Many couples enter into marriage questioning whether or not they will even have children. Some have doubts about their ability to be parents. And some don't want to have children because they don't want to repeat the mistakes of their mums and dads when they were growing up. But those mistakes and those losses can be corrected in the next generation. When Billy Crystal's daughter turned 11, Billy was in New York filming a movie. He called his daughter and apologized for his work schedule and said that a package would be delivered soon. He then flew from New York to Los Angeles. Later that day, when his daughter opened the front door, a 6-foot-high cardboard box greeted her, and she began to rip it open right away. Guess what? Billy, her dad, was in the box. When he tells this story, he says that his daughter hugged him for a full 5 minutes. It was unbelievable, he says. He went on to say, "I missed 25 birthdays with my dad. I'm not going to let that happen with my girls." Besides these reasons, there are other couples who have doubts about whether or not it would be right to bring children into a world as corrupt and evil as ours at times. Is it possible, they ask? And we could ask that question right along with them. Is it possible to bring up godly children in an ungodly world? I would answer that question with a profound and loud yes. Because I have seen in the pages of the Bible that it has happened over and over again. And I have seen couples who have honored the Lord by bringing up their children in a godly way. But before I go too far, that doesn't always mean that their children, or our children, will always walk with God, at least right away. We as parents are called to bring up our children in the ways of the Lord, and then set them free. And if your children aren't living according to the godly standards that you set and exemplified when they were younger, you can at least be thankful that those seeds of truth have been sown within their hearts. And you can hold on to the promise of Proverbs 22:6, which says, "Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it." Hopefully, and we all pray, that they don't wait too long to get on the right path, because the longer they live without Jesus, the more regrets they will have. There are no guarantees in this parenting business, but we are called by God to be a godly influence on our children, and that goes for our grandchildren and our neighbors' children too. We have a duty before God to bring up the children around us with a knowledge of Jesus. We are to set an example of how to live for Jesus, because the reality is they're not really our children, they're His. This morning, I want us to look at the life of a godly father, a father who we don't know a whole lot about. His story is contained in a few verses of the Bible, but he was a godly father because of his influence. He was able to raise children who would serve God, and children who would be used by God to save the world. His name is Enoch. How many here knew who Enoch was before this morning? Even though we don't know much about him, there is one thing that made his life so profound. And if you don't want to listen to any more of the sermon, I want all of you to remember this. The one thing that made Enoch a godly parent was that every day he walked with God. Every day he walked with the Lord. Well, some may say, well, things were just simpler then. Life wasn't as complicated. But that isn't true at all. It was no easy thing for Enoch to live a godly life and walk with the Lord every day. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 describes for us a society that existed around Enoch's time. It says that the thoughts of people, of their hearts, were evil all the time. In fact, things were so bad in the society of those days that God was sorry that he had even created people in the first place. When we read Matthew 24, 37 to 39, we are told by Jesus what those days were like. He described what the days of Noah were like. And as you saw in the reading this morning, Noah was Enoch's great-grandson. Jesus said, "As it was in the day of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. Now you may say that doesn't sound too bad, eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. But the problem was that they did all these things without God in their lives. They were a society that didn't honor God. They couldn't have cared less about God. They did whatever seemed right within their own eyes. They followed their own desires with no thought of the coming judgment. It was a pleasure-seeking, self-gratifying generation, where the laws of God were a forgotten antiquity. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? That looks a lot like our society today. So remember the words of Jesus. When the Son of Man, that's him, returns, it'll be like what it was in the days of Noah. But in the midst of this perverse and immoral society that had pushed God all right out of their lives, Enoch walked with God. And guess what? So can we. In a society where every evil and immorality is portrayed on our TVs, in a society where God has been pushed out of schools, city halls, and parliament buildings, in a society where God has been pushed out of our workplaces, our homes, and even a lot of our churches, you and I can still walk with God and be an example to the younger generation. Every man, every woman, every child can walk with God because we serve the same God that Enoch did. All of us can walk with God. And all of us should walk with God. But what do I mean when I say that Enoch walked with God? What does it mean to be a godly parent in an ungodly world? Well, let's take a look at what it meant for Enoch. As I said, we don't know a lot about Enoch. There are only 3 short references to him in all of Scripture. The passages that were read for us this morning by Eric, and also in Jude, verse 14 to 15. We aren't told much, but we are told that he walked with God. You know, if I was going to have anything written about me in Scripture, or if anyone's even kind enough to write me an epitaph when I leave this earth, I would love it to say that I walked with God. To walk with God simply means to put God first in everything. It means to be counter-cultural, to live a sanctified, set-apart life for God. Just walking and talking with him every moment of every day. That really should be the desire of our heart anyway, because that is why we were created. And it's the only thing that truly satisfies in this life. Walking with God means to go in God's direction, and not in the direction the society around us is going, and not even in the direction that we want to go. Some other people may say that it was easy for Enoch to walk with God because he knew nothing else. But that isn't true either. We are told that he didn't always walk with God, but he began to when something very special happened. And this something special seems to be the birth of his son, Methuselah. When Methuselah was born, Enoch now had responsibility. Perhaps he looked at the society around him and was determined that his son wasn't going to grow up that way. He wanted to show his son a different way, a better way, the only way, by walking with God. Now Enoch had someone who would look up to him and follow in his footsteps. At one time, Enoch was going in his own direction, but he decided to turn around and head in a different direction. You know what that decision is called? It's called repentance. Repentance is changing the way and the direction that we walk. There was a day when I would walk right towards sin. Now with God's help, I walk away from it and try to walk towards holiness. And walking with God also means to live by faith. We are told that it is impossible to please God without faith. And we need faith in God to live lives of example to the children around us. We need the faith that our children, no matter how old they are, have the potential of becoming great in God's hands. Faith that the Lord can take better care of our children than we can. Faith that God is with them when they go to school or go to work. Faith that the Lord can work in your life and enable you to be a great parent or mentor to the children around you. Faith that God can provide for your family. Faith that your prayers will become a reality for those children who truly need God in their lives. And faith that enables you to live in obedience to Him in your words, in your deeds, in your thoughts, and in your finances. Faith that assures you that when your children around you see you pray, reading your Bible, and putting God first, that those silent lessons will stay with them for eternity. Walking with God also means to share His companionship. We were created for fellowship with God. That's why He made us, so that we could walk with Him. God asks that we walk with Him in the good times and in the bad times. And walking with God doesn't just mean to follow Jesus on our journey of life. It also means that we walk with Him side by side and hand in hand. As St. Patrick prayed, Christ with me, Christ before me. Christ behind me, Christ in me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me. Christ on my right, Christ on my left. Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise. Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. Christ in every eye that sees me. Christ in every ear that hears me. That is walking with God in companionship. Companionship is about talking and listening. We talk to God through prayer, and we listen to God through prayer, through His Word, and through His Spirit. Abraham was called the friend of God, and the same can be said of us. When the children around us realize that we are God's friend, and that He is our best friend, their lives will be influenced for all time. Another aspect of walking with God means to be a strong witness in the world around you. At your job, you may be asked to do things that are wrong. At home, you may be tempted to say things that aren't honoring to God, or argue to get your own way. Maybe you want to watch a TV show that doesn't glorify God, and you may think that that is your choice, and it is. But besides God, others are watching, and others are listening to see if you are walking with God. To walk with God means that we walk with integrity. When Ashley got married and left home, and took my dog with her, by the way, Sean thinks that would make a good country song, I was the one who got the empty nest syndrome. I began to wonder, what now? What purpose do I have? Have I really made a difference in the world? What or who has been changed by my presence here? I think a lot of us can ask those questions. And I realize that if any of us want to have a real impact on our world, we do it through our children and grandchildren. Not by living our lives through them, but by walking with God and showing by example, and sending them out into the world where God can bring about His best for them and use their gifts for His glory. Our children are really like arrows that are shot out into the world. Psalm 127:5 says that you will be happy if you have a quiver full of arrows. They are what you shoot out ahead of you. They go where you cannot go to accomplish what you cannot accomplish. As we saw, Enoch had a son whose name was Methuselah, who lived to be the oldest man ever at 969 years of age. And Devin can explain to you why we don't live that long today. Right, Devin? We've had that conversation. We are told that Methuselah had a son named Lamech, and Lamech had a son named Noah. It was Enoch's great-grandson who was used by God to rescue mankind from extinction. How's that for impacting your world? All because his great-grandfather decided to walk with God. You know, mothers have a powerful influence in the lives of their children. But when it comes to spiritual matters, it seems that children look to the men in their lives. St. Statistics show that when the father is an active believer and walking with God, there is about a 75% chance that their children will also become active believers in the Lord. But if only the mother is a believer, that likelihood is dramatically reduced to only 15%. That's why, men, we all have to ask ourselves, do we have a strong witness before our children, grandchildren, and all the other children in our lives? Finally, walking with God means to arrive at God's destination. So what do you think God's destination is for us? Is it heaven? Actually, it isn't. God's ultimate destination for you and for me, according to Romans 8:29, is that we become like Jesus, his son. And we can only do that as we walk with God. And then we get to live that way for all eternity in heaven. Genesis 5:24 tells us that Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. There's a story of how a little girl explained the story of Enoch. She came home from Sunday school and told her parents, "It seems that every day God would come to Enoch's house and say, 'Enoch, would you walk with me today?' And Enoch would come out of the house, go down to the gate, and down the road with God. He got to the place in his life where he enjoyed it so much that he would wait at the gate every day. And he and God would go for a walk. Then one day God came by and said, 'Enoch, let's take a long walk. I have so much to tell you.' So they went, and they were walking and talking. And finally, Enoch said, 'My, it's getting late in the afternoon. I'd better get back home.' And God said, 'Enoch, you're closer to my home than you are to your home. Why don't you just come home with me?' So Enoch went home with God." Men, our children need us. The children around the world need us. They need to see us walking with God. They need to be shown a different way. They need to be taught a different way. A different way than what this corrupt and immoral world is providing them. They need to know the way to God. They need to know how to live their lives. And they will never know unless you and I truly walk with God. So today, let's take up the challenge and be the men that God wants us to be. And let us be the men that the children around us need us to be. Men who are godly. Men who put Jesus first. Men who walk with God.